Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, we're joined by Wesley Hamilton, who's transformed from victim to victor. Gunshot wounds left Wesley with a spinal cord injury, and then he turned to fitness and nutrition and became inspired and empowered. Wesley drew inspiration from his roles as a father and potential role model and went on to establish a philanthropic organization called Disabled But Not Really, whose mission is to bring positivity and hope to the disabled community and beyond. He's won bodybuilding competitions, philanthropic awards, and some even say the hearts of the world. Wesley transformed yet again when working with the Fab Five on season 4 of the Netflix hit show Queer Eye. Wesley shares that the Fab Five taught him how to be true to himself, and he was humbled by the experience. Wesley believes that the highest human act is to inspire, and this is his purpose in life. He works hard to deliver motivating messages on the power of self-love, resilience, and change, trying to make waves in the world. So Wesley, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Doc. It's an honor. Appreciate the intro. Yes, just any ability to share my story, which you just did an amazing job on. But yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for creating a platform that inspires people to share their stories and empower others to start to heal from theirs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm aware that one of your favorite quotes is be the change you wish to see in the world that is attributed to Gandhi. And so boy, oh boy, are you bringing change into the world? And, you know, we ended up meeting each other virtually. We have a mutual friend, Jeff, who's one of my coaching buddies, and we'll get into that a little later. It was kind of odd. I was watching your episode on Queer Eye, and at the end, they have this big party fundraiser. I'm like, what is Jeff doing here? So we ended up getting connected. And so
Jeff had the most perfect cameo at the end, right?
He does. He's like, I love Jeff. Jeff is an amazing guy. He has an amazing story, and I'm so blessed that he's in my life and he brought us together, and he's doing amazing things as well in his coaching practice. And so, look, Wesley, you have had such a journey, such an inspiring journey. And I was watching Queer Eye. I was watching some of your other interviews. I was watching your TED Talk. And one of the things that I hold most dear is the reality that we are our own best cheerleaders and we are our own enemies. And what can cause one thing or another is like what's between our ears, right? And so share with the audience, if you would please, kind of your story and particularly, you know, that time when you were bedridden and you really had these negative thoughts and how you started to turn things around.
Yeah, you know, I think it's good. Today is an amazing day to even share it, just because the beginning of the year is always one of my troubling times, you know, and just, so point being is that I just celebrated my rebirth yesterday.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Congratulations.
So, you know, it's crazy that this is kind of the question, but yeah, so let me take you there, right? I can always tell people, like, in order for you to know who I am, you have to know who I used to be, right? Like, and sure, you have to understand like that journey. But all right, so I'm 33 years of age, born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, east side of Kansas City, Missouri. And so I speak about just really, I can sum up my life real quick as a youth, as an adolescent, by saying that I was a product of my environment. Mm-hmm. There was no role models or positive representation in my community. So the things that I did fell into, you know, a lifestyle that really I believe was designed for people like myself, as we are starting to see coming into new times and new eras, you know, of systematic changes that has, you know, defeated communities. So with that being said, at the age of 24, I was shot multiple times. I literally had just turned 24, 5 days after my 24th birthday. I was shot multiple times, which led to me having a spinal cord injury from the waist down. Well, at this time of my injury, well, let me start. Because of the lifestyle that I lived, mm-hmm, and the mindset that I had, you know, I accepted the fact that when I got shot, I was going to die, right? Like, I didn't see myself, advancing from that. I probably was more mad that I did, right? Like, because I had to live something new.
Right.
And I was so used to a life that was designed. That meant that the lifestyle that I live, I was either going to die or go to jail, you know? And so, you know, being shot, no matter what the issue was, it seemed like it was my reality, right? Like, it seemed like it was supposed to happen to me, but it didn't. I didn't die. I woke up. And, you know, I always tell people, like, I woke up and it was a whole new world for me. You know, it was a whole new life, because it was something that I, you know, waking up in a hospital and finding out that you are paralyzed from the waist down from, you know, things that, you know, you really don't want to accept on your own, right? Like, you don't want to take accountability for it. You want to blame it on others. So, like, you're sitting there and you're going through all this self-pity. I just had a conversation with someone earlier. So we was talking about imposter syndrome, right? So, like, yes. When I could think about it, I think about just, like, I woke up with this imposter syndrome because I was a part of a community that I really never really knew, nor was it really presented to me in such a powerful, positive manner. So I really saw myself falling right back into a trap that I thought getting shot was getting me out of, right? Like, I thought, you know, being shot was going to get me out of the lifestyle that I was living, you know, and yeah. So being, you know, here I am with this disability, but on top of that, I'm 250 pounds. I'm only 5'5", you know, and I'm overweight. I've always been overweight my whole life. So it wasn't an issue until I got in a wheelchair.
Sure.
And for me, because I never had someone teach me how to really take control of my life, hold myself accountable, I was looking for a way out in this process. Right. Like, so, being, you know, so I always tell people my first year of my injury, I went back to what I knew. You know, I tried to go back into the lifestyle that I knew. I believed I was a leader in my community, but I also believed that I was a follower because I didn't lead people out of my community. I felt like I just let them still inside, right? Like, I might have had a little bit of power or in my mind, but it wasn't leading people to something better. You know, so for me, when I went backwards, see, I did go backwards. I went backwards. It hurt me more than going forward and taking and accepting what was happening to me. So by my end of my first year, I had a pressure ulcer on my tailbone. And so, and this is caused by just sitting too long for hours at a time. And of course, like, that imposter syndrome came in. I couldn't accept something where I didn't feel accepted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this was a community. This was something that I wasn't used to. Everything had changed. My body had changed. My pain. You know, it was just like, it was so much easier to hate the world for who I had become instead of embracing who I was and being okay and starting to move the world in a different way, you know, through perspective or anything. Instead, it was like, oh, no, I hated it. So that led to 2 years of bed rest, 6 surgeries. For a year I had a colostomy bag. So like that bothered me, just because it was temporary. So I always tell people, like, you know, you tell me I only got it for 3 months and it goes for a year, you know, now I have self-conscious issues. Sure. What happened was this process made me realize how debilitating it is for the disabled community in the world, because it wasn't something that, like, you know, it wasn't like, hey, man, you're going to go live this life despite your circumstances. It's like you got these circumstances. And because, you know, the world already sees you as limited, now everything around you constantly still feels like more limitations being thrown on top. You know what I mean? From the bed rest, from, you know, the challenges. Rather, it was like I had to wait 2-3 weeks to get a wheelchair. So I had to sit in my bed, you know, lay in my bed till I got one. You know, it was all those things that transpired to the point of me realizing, like, in order for me to live my life the way I really want to live my life, I have to accept this life.
Yeah.
You know, because what I realized is that only way that you can have better is when you accept what you have right now.
Absolutely.
You know, accept the moment, fall in love with the person you are. And of course it was hard, but it was that realization that nobody around me, none of these systems around me was going to give me what I was seeking. It wasn't going to give me that positive push to say, man, despite not being able to walk, you can still walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's amazing to hear your story in this conversation. And I don't think I'll ever forget one of the things you said in your TED Talk, where you were talking about representation and role models. And a lot of what you're sharing is looking to role models and trying to have to carve your own way. And you said, you know, if you can't find somebody around you that's the role model, you have to be the role model. And your whole discussion of imposter syndrome, it's such a humanistic trait. And there's people like you that have such amazing, I don't know if amazing is the right word, but incredible challenges that end up rallying. And then when you think about it, it's like everybody gets stuck between their own ears, right?
And that's so very much so, right?
Yeah, completely. And so tell us about some of the, well, you were sharing the kind of timeline and the starts of the turning point for you from a mental perspective.
So, you know, I always start with my struggles before I tell people, like, you know, it's a seed. It was a seed planted into my life before I really knew what that seed was. And that was my daughter. You know, two, three months before my accident, I had just got sole custody of my daughter, and she was a year and a half. And of course, like, I won't go in depth of why I have sole custody of my child, but I believe like certain things are just there for us. You know, that whole process, didn't know that I was going through a process to have this human being in my home while I went through this transition, right? Like I didn't understand it at that moment, but it's like it was a seed planted because I was living a plan that was already destined for me. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and so like, that's what I started to realize. So let's go back. All right. So we talk about the surgery, we talk about all of that. Right. Mm-hmm. And the turning point was that even though I was going through all these surgeries and I got to a point where they was giving me, it was 21 hours of bed rest a day. Oof. And I could only get up for 3 hours a day. I fell in love with two things. The doctor told me that the only way I would heal is adding protein in my diet because of my pressure ulcer and the type of wound it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know nothing about healthy eating. You know, I'm coming from a community where there are food deserts, right? Like, and so we eat what we can. I think I'm queer. I told somebody, I said, I think I was like a double quarter pounder with cheese, right?
Yes,
like,
I remember that.
That was my go-to meal, right? And thank you for, you know, I always tell people like I, Wesley Hamilton, is McDonald's free for about 9 years. You know? I always try to do my little, you know, my little pack. Let people know I'm done with that. You know, I'm over. But what happened was because I could get out 3 hours a day, this come where determination and will, right? Like I'm a single father. I'm defeated. When I say defeated, I mean, I hated myself. Suicidal thoughts. Like I didn't want to be here. I didn't. This was a figure, a person that I couldn't accept who I was, right? Like I couldn't accept this. And so because of that, I had to seek it different. And what I realized was like, as a man, as a man, I took responsibility of my child despite anything. I brought the child to my house. Well, what am I doing by being defeated by my circumstances? What am I teaching? Right. And so in my mind, it was like, I want to see better. I want to do better. But how bad do I want it? Right. Yeah. Like, and I think it was just that. It was me seeing her and saying, okay, let me try to be stronger. And having that will to try motivated me to go to a community college, take up a dietitian course. For about a year and a half, I learned how to eat healthy. You know, I picked up a book on nutrition. I always tell people it started with Dr. Pepper. So Dr. Pepper was my favorite drink until I opened this book up, this nutrition book, because like maybe page five, it starts showing you how much sugar was in cans, 20 ounces, stuff like that. And they did it by cube. And I'm like, man, when I seen that cube, I'm like, I would never put that many cubes in. Like, I would never. And so I started drinking water, you know. So I was shot January 14th, 2012. My last surgery was January of 2015.
Okay.
So that's why I love my timeline, because everything was in January. It was January.
My, yeah, that's true. January, yeah, yeah.
So January 2015, so 3 years later, right? So practicing nutrition, trying to be stronger for my child, being on bed rest for 2 years, like all of this happened. But by January 2015, I get in a hospital bed. Now, mind you, in this whole transition, I'm in denial. I mean, right. I'm in a wheelchair. There's no scale that I can hop on. You know what I mean? I was wearing size 44 jeans before I got in the wheelchair.
Wow.
You know, so now I'm like in a 36, but they baggy, but I'm still in denial. I'm like, this ain't real. You know, like I'm gonna get bigger. Well, then I get on this hospital bed and they like, you 100, and I think I was 135 pounds. And I'm like, Brian, I don't even remember when I was 100 anything.
Right.
You know? And so that like really empowered me to say like, man, I have limited mobility, but sure. I had a will to do something that I believe could happen because I had something bigger in my life that I didn't have to really focus on me anymore as much as I needed to focus on her and her ability to see that she could rise through any levels of adversity. Right. Like
absolutely. And one of the things you also said, I told you I was listening. I was like, whoa. You know, you made the comment several times, and I believe in several different situations that your beautiful daughter saw her dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't see a guy in a wheelchair. And I thought that was such an amazing metaphor, not just for the disabled, but for everything. Like people of color, sexual orientation, gender identity, everything. And your daughter is a smart young lady.
No, seriously. I remember that day of it really being impactful. I think I was just in a hospital and, you know, I did a lot of spending time in the hospital. And I just remember it was a time when I got in my chair and she was like, oh, that's your Superman chair. You know, and I'm like, you know, I always tell people like, I like Batman. I'm a Batman person. It's my Batmobile or something. You know? But, It was at that moment that I knew that she saw strength that I didn't see myself having, you know, and I was like, oh, I gotta be Superman. But it also was that moment that I realized like, when you know, the imposter syndrome, my defeats from in life had came from worrying about how people saw me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a Black man growing up, like I probably would have risen above so much if I didn't care about the stereotypes and the things that was already portrayed. Mm-hmm. And instead of falling into them and embodying them, what if I said, forget what you see of me, I can be more, right? And so this was my position where it was like, I was rising above some adversity that I didn't know how to rise above. But because I got strength from my child of not seeing me, how I felt that the world saw me.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but saw more in me, you know, and it goes back to like, you know, I do a lot of reading now. I'm an avid reader and it goes back to like a book that I was reading and Napoleon Hill and it's called How to Own Your Own Mind.
Yes.
And one of the things is just talking about leaders, right? Like, and I feel like my daughter has Carrie's leadership traits because it said, leaders see good in everything and everybody, and you see strength and you believe in the courage that people have, even if they're not presented in front of you that day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so like, for me, it was like, man, you seen something in me that I didn't see.
Isn't
and
that amazing?
Now, what, 2015, so 6 years later, My legacy has been created because of that.
That's incredible. And it's amazing because it's that innocence that shows us the real way, right? Because we as adults, regardless of our circumstances, we get trained, we allow ourselves, let's put it that way, how about that? We allow ourselves to get trained by our circumstances and we see the world many, many times and in many circumstances through the lens of what we think everybody else is seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And so for us to be our individual Superman or Batman, by the way, I don't know if you know, in Phoenix, I hope it's still there. There's an actual Bat Cave and a Batmobile. I don't know if you know this. So if you ever come, we're going, man. And I've seen the Batmobile in person. It's insane, it's amazing. Anyway, but it's almost like what you found, you know, forget about the Superman and Batman for just a second. It's almost like you found your armor, right?
Yeah.
Your strength came from within. And people have such a hard time finding their armor, or maybe even to go with the analogy, putting their armor on, because they have that imposter syndrome in their brain.
Yes.
And, you know, you've turned this positive mindset into helping others. And so I know we're going to get there. I'd love for you to share all about your foundation and how that came about. And what you're
No, seriously. So that's the next thing, right?
Oh, cool.
They tell me I lose weight. Tell me I lost this weight in a hospital bed. I was doing my last surgery. I had 6 weeks of healing on a specialized bed called a Clinitron bed, made out of sand. But by this time, I am literally focused on healing. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to lay on my stomach for this whole 6 weeks. I got my own refrigerator in there because I'm eating healthy. I'm doing all this good stuff, right? But what I realized at that time was that I had never in my life seen someone with a disability feeling or looking as positive and as happy about their limitations as I was at that moment.
Yeah.
And even though I was in a hospital bed, I know at that time that I realized that a lot of my defeats were because of the representation that I saw. And even though, like, you know, people with disabilities, you don't see them out in the community as much. So where do you see them? Normally at the hospital, maybe a bus stop.
Yeah.
You know, or you might see them at the grocery store, but the ones that you see might not be in shape. They might be dealing with something. They might be depressed. They might be quiet. And so for me, I didn't feel none of that no more.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Like I was still in a hospital bed. So I started looking up how to change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, I wanted to create something that helps people with disabilities be more active and healthy, because the courage that I grabbed from my daughter helped me understand what I really wanted to do with my life, and I've found strength out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started, you know, I had my laptop, so I started just doing logos and things like that, and came and I hashtag disabled but not really on a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And just all my family and friends was going crazy, like, oh man, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's dope hashtag. And so I was like, all right, this is a thing. And so I registered as a nonprofit. And so of course I didn't have no awareness of really what I wanted to do. I was just motivated by changing other people's lives from the things that changed mine.
Sure.
Like I didn't want to go into anything else. Like I wasn't really into the gym or anything yet, because mm-hmm. I had just got out of off of bed rest. All mm-hmm. I knew was that my body changed from eating healthy, and mm-hmm. that was powerful. I wasn't on meds anymore. I wasn't doing any of this stuff. So I started going out and looking for expos that were in the country, you know, so their thing called Ability Expos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started going to them. I went by myself. I started traveling alone. Like I went through 3 years of like sitting in a bed defeated. So sure. I wasn't free, right? Like I had literally pushed myself from self-imposed limitations, right? Like all those doubts and things that I had in my mind, I had overcame them. So I'm like, let me go out here. Let me what I did, man. I found a community of people, not only just like me, but people of all different ability levels doing amazing things despite their limitations.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind of a community that was already out here, but yet society has not shown the world.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I'm like, you know, they like, oh, have you heard of CrossFit? Have you heard of wheelchair bodybuilding? I'm like, what? No. I started doing my research, and by January 2016, here go the timeline again,
mm-hmm.
I'm back jumping the gun, starting to compete. So 2016 was my first year of competitions. And by, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years, I'm competing in bodybuilding and CrossFit, winning awards all over the country, getting featured in Men's Health magazine. Like all these things happen where this young Black man that came from a community that only hoped and wished that, you know, believed that he
absolutely
would be dead by the age of 21. The moment I took control of my life, I started to make things happen for myself that actually opened me up to the world, right? Like I've been stuck in my community for so long that me traveling, like, you know, traveling here, traveling there, competing, giving people that might have only saw me in a certain view from what society portrays, something completely different. And it was amazing. You know what I mean? And so because I did all of that, I knew exactly what I was going to do with disabled, but not really, right? Like I came back, like I had to, you know, if anybody asks, like, what is disabled, but not really? I'm like, it's me.
Yeah.
You know, find that. Like, if you look at my journey of how nutrition changed my life and it fed me to go into the gym, and then that made me a competitor, but I wasn't in competition with nobody else but myself.
You got it.
I was literally pushing myself every day because I wanted to celebrate my wins because I had never celebrated myself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, despite who I am now, I was completely okay with it.
That's incredible. And I love what you described, because what I think what so many people miss, wherever they are in life and whatever their circumstances are, you just got to get started. And so what you were describing was, you know, the whole timeline of, I made the decision, I started eating right, I started going to these events, I decided to compete in a bodybuilding competition without any assumptions other than competing with myself. And just one thing leads to another. And you know, it's funny, in one of my other interviews, ironically enough, another buddy from my coaching program that Jeff knows, Sean Swarner, here's a dude that had two cancers before he was 18 and climbed Mount Everest with one lung. And I was talking to him about some of our own, some of the conversations he and I had. And he looked at me and he goes, look, I'm really humbled that you shared that with me, but you know, everybody has their own challenges. And, you know, because he climbed Mount Everest, what he said to me was, everybody has their own Everest. And, you know, it just starts with that first decision to kind of go forward. And so that's one of the reasons why I was kind of so drawn to you, because you just, you made the decision and you started, and where you are today is not where you were in 2015 or before that, right? It was a whole stepwise progression.
You know, every day is a journey for me. And I, you know, it's the book that I read, it says something like the man, and of course this is just an analogy, right? But it was like, man that wants to get from poverty to riches, right? It's like the farmer that wants to transform a forest to a productive field. Meaning that it's a journey. And like, and when you go on this journey, you don't find yourself chasing the riches as much as you find yourself chasing yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, and once you chase yourself, you're, the things that you're manifesting for a better life, for a better version of you, the thing you, it starts to fall into, right? Like, absolutely. It starts to come, but it's all about the awareness of yourself and the awareness that it's a journey. We can, absolutely. We won't be who we vision being unless we work for it, but we have to work for that person every day. Like, there's no way that I'm content with who I am today. Let me rephrase that. There's no way that I won't go tomorrow pushing myself to be a better version, thinking that I was content with who I am today. Because I will embody the person I am, because I will be satisfied with who I am if this was my last day.
Right.
If I have the opportunity to open my eyes up again, I will see myself as being better than the person I fell asleep as.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I love, it's just so incredible. And you know, when I was watching Queer Eye again last night, you know what I observed about you? Every single shot, with a couple exceptions, which we'll get into, there was the biggest smile on your face I have ever seen. And, you know, I was watching it again, knowing that we were going to talk, of course. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got to ask him the question. Tell us about the joy that you experienced during that, because it just, it flooded from the screen. It was incredible.
You know, I think it was a lot of things, right? Like, you know, I'm happy with the person I am, and I'm happy with the person I've become.
Right.
But also, like, I'm happy that I have a willingness to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty and power of working with others that I would never have saw myself with.
Sure.
And like me, like being on that show, you know, or just being in that, I was around free men.
Right.
You know, I always tell people that, like, you know, you, when you're judging people, that's because you have your own issues with yourself.
Yep.
You know, because once you realize that you're a work in progress, you can never judge somebody for where they are today if you believe that they could be better tomorrow.
You got it.
Right. And so, like, for me, I was around men that were trying to not only empower people like myself, they were happy doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like they had figured out what makes them happy. And so now they can go and help other people. And that was it. When you move with love, right, it creates empathy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and what I was surrounded by was empathy and integrity.
Yes. Right?
Everybody was doing good just because it felt good. It wasn't like, oh, I had to do it. Like everything that have to transpire the way it did.
Yep.
You know, they poured into me as much as I poured into them. And so on and off the screen, there was so much love being poured out that it exhilarated every time you seen me.
You know,
like everybody's like, oh man, Wes is smiling. I'm like, but you just don't know how amazing I feel in a space that mm-hmm. I don't see many people like me in this space.
That's amazing. And you know, each of them, they've all been interviewed quite a bit. And one of the things I really like about each and every one of them is, and you said it, they've all had their own challenges that they've overcome. They've all been very public about it. You know, you had a moment with Tan on camera when you were talking about coming out, and if I may be so bold, you assuming that he was out earlier than that, and he shared with you, it was just before Queer Eye came out on screen. And I was thinking about my own coming out journey. I was like, whoa, that, I mean, I had heard that before, but to see the, I guess you could say the pain on his face that you kind of brought out. I mean, each and every one of them is really, you know, being true to themselves, as you've said, right?
That's because our strong friends need love too sometimes. And, true. You know, some people call me, people call me things all the time, positive things, empath, right? Like,
yeah.
And so, like for me, I felt like I already knew what I was going to ask Tan because I could feel it inside of him.
Mm.
And like, for me, like, I truly, like, as he's talking to me and we're talking, I'm like, I'm so curious of why am I around somebody free like you? And like, even though he had his issues and his trouble and that he shared, right, and he even broke down, it was like the moment that he broke that fear to come out is the reason why he was able to be himself at that moment.
Yeah.
And like, even though it was recent, it was like, maybe that's the reason why that energy felt so good that I needed him to put it out right then, right? Like, because it was like, he was more free. He could have been flying if you gave him the chance, right? Like,
right.
That's how good it felt. And I'm like, hold on, right? Like, I need to ask something because this is, the world needs to know. Like, I always believe in like that subconscious mind and that way of thinking. And so honestly, I just feel like that was like my mind saying like, listen, this is something that the world needs to know, need to understand that these people are human.
That's amazing.
And that if they're human, that they went through something. And sometimes us being strong, like you see me now, right? Some people will see my strengths and they won't see my weaknesses. And so to have like conversations like this will let people know that I'm human too.
Absolutely. And you know, I'd love to talk to each and every one of them, mainly because it so fits with everything that I hold dear and what I'm trying to do on this channel, because they all have their unique things. You know, Bobby struggle with, you know, religion, and Anthony struggle with anxiety, and it goes on and on and on, and what Karamo's been through and how they've all kind of basically created, and I'm gonna air quotes this, created success in their lives. But, you know, at the end of the day, success is what anybody feels that it is, right? It's never, even though society thinks it is, it's never monetary stuff. It's never fame. It's like success at its core is whatever it means for you, right? And so I think they're just amazing men that are really bringing joy into the world and challenging people to think differently. And, you know, you use the F word, fear. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk to you about, because on the show, you faced the man who shot you.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about talking to you about this specific subject, you know what came to my mind? It was kind of like, not only did you face your psychological fears and got up out of that bed, to use a metaphor,
mm-hmm.
but you physically faced your fear. Like, the manifestation of your fears was right in front of your face. And so you did both. And so, oh my gosh. Like, I remember sitting there again, watching it again last night, thinking to myself, how many people can't even get out of their own way in their head? And you not only got out of your way in your head, but you literally faced a physical manifestation of that. So tell us about that experience.
You know, all right. The crazy thing is that I'm a firm believer of affirmations, right? Like I'm a firm believer of affirmations. If people want to know why did I get to where I am, it's because I started to tell myself things that I could believe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so one of the biggest affirmations I would share was that the man that tried to take my life gave me life. I always said that because, you know, you have to get to a point where the thing that I think society has a problem with is taking accountability of our actions, right? Yeah. Taking accountability of all things that happen in our life,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the hardest part because it could be something small that we did that made something big happen, but it's easier to blame that big thing on somebody else.
Yep.
Somebody else or something else and not looking at ourselves internally. Well, over time, I realized that my actions and emotions played a major part in the day I was shot, you know? And so when people look at, you know, it was easy for me to tell people I walked back to my car and I was shot because that's actually what happened.
Sure.
I didn't know this, man. I didn't know anything. I literally didn't even see him before I was shot, right? But 30 minutes prior was when I pulled up to that scene. So what transpired in that 30 minutes? Now, for those first 3 years, I wasn't, it was his fault. Right? Like for the first 3 years, it was his fault.
Yeah.
And until I started to understand that I played a part in it too.
Sure.
And so when, you know, so my point is that when I had an initial interview with the people on Queer Eye, and we're talking about my story, it got to that point of me taking accountability, following up with, he gave me life when he tried to take it. And so the producer I had was like, whoa, Wes, like that's powerful. And it was a Black woman from Delaware, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she understood that the story that I was sharing with her, you know, when you hear someone like myself coming from a community where so much hate and negativity, and you see this positivity being poured out, she's like, hit me with one question, like, well, you know, true forgiveness ain't true forgiveness unless you can face the person. And I'm like, oh. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is not supposed, you know, like, this is, nobody has ever taught me forgiveness.
Wow.
Nobody has ever taught me to actually let something go. I have been around a community of people my whole life of so much negativity and blaming the next person that I didn't understand what forgiveness was. And so in that process of conversating, you know, of course it's rushed, right? Because we're like, well, can you do this? Can you do that? Right? And she's like, you know, I'm like, well, let's do it then, right? So I didn't even think twice about it. I was more like, let's do it. And they're like, whoa, you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And of course, my city is pretty small. Of course, mm-hmm. like as a Black man being shot, I knew who shot me when I woke up. Like
sure.
There's a retaliation kind of stigma that goes on in our community. So I was already kind of like on the forefront of things. And so I was like, oh, well, I have some information I can share with you, like, you know, Facebook page or whatever that you could go reach out. Sure. I didn't know what day though.
Oh.
So I didn't know that. Okay, so I didn't know what day. Now I felt it. So now let me tell you about this day. And I'm gonna tell you the power of knowing that you have to be the change that you wish to see in the world, but also understanding that your body is a vessel and that you're moving through energy. And so the ability to move through and understand that the body is a vessel, you don't care about the damage that's harmed to it, as long as you're putting the right things out into the world. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, I already had the fear that something was gonna happen because of my city, because of like just the stigma, right? Like nobody care if it's cameras around, if you really want somebody. Right. You know what I mean, like that's just my community. That's just that's how it happened.
Right.
So for me, it was like I was nervous, but also, like I said, I wasn't aware. So this Thursday morning, I woke up. I got a call from my father. One of my favorite cousins had died. He died that morning. And it was just health complications. He had diabetes real bad, but mm-hmm. it was like always with me from those 3 years. So for me, it was really, really tough because like, as I got better, you know, how you like, oh, I should have been there, you know? So I had all these, you know, So then that same day was the day I cut my hair with John.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I wake up, then we got to go to the barbershop. So now that's hard because that was the last day I had my hair cut, you know, yep. 7 years ago.
You can see it on your face when that first lock went
cut. And I was like, oh my God. So then, all right. So now all that has happened. So, you know, come the afternoon, I'm literally now like grieving. I never had time to grieve, nor could I really share with people on the scene, on the stage, because I felt like that was going to cause some issues.
Yeah.
So I text one of the producers when me and Karamo got in the car. So when me and Karamo got in that truck and he started asking questions, I'm like, oh, we about to really, you know, we about to go meet this dude. I just felt it. And I'm like, so we pull up to a coffee shop and I text the producer, like, I cannot do this. Like, I lost my cousin, like my emotions is bothering me. Like, and you know, the producer said, you know, Wes, go back and pray, you know, get out, go pray, you know, die. And I'm like, you know, for me, like I'm a heavy faith based person, you know, but I was like, man, you know, and my mom, like, what's prayer gonna do if, you know, like, I don't know, you're like, I'm really hurt, right? So yeah. I went back and I did something different. You know, I believe that in life, like, we are always faced with an obstacle before we can challenge our own greatness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that obstacle is challenging us. And so for me, the death of my cousin was a huge obstacle, knowing that I was about to do something that hadn't been seen in the world on TV. Two Black men being able to face each other, to talk about the differences that changed the trajectory of one person's life and probably changed something of the others as well, right? Absolutely. And be able to figure it out, right? Like, you don't see that. So I went to the back in this coffee shop and I just said, I prayed and I talked to my cousin. I said, you know what? I don't know why you left today, but I feel like I'm about to do something that, you know, has never been done before and I need you. Mm. And so, you know, as people see in the show, I rode in and it was like my face was real tense, right?
Yeah.
Until I felt the angels around me.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Until I felt that I knew that I was comfortable and I was safe.
Mm-hmm.
I had broke that chain of fear by rolling in two. Mm-hmm. In the moment I was facing that man, I didn't even care about what he was going to say. I really just wanted to tell him how amazing my life was because of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, of course, he shares why, right? As I asked, like, why did you do this? Well, by that time, because I had took accountability, because I understood the things that happened, and then because I had much more of an open mind and a clear mind, I also understood his perception or his perspective on why he did what he did. And that gave me the ability to not see anything wrong with that, but to also give him healing. Because in my 7 years, by that time I met him, I was healed and I had done amazing things to help heal others. And he needed to understand that, yes, my life might have changed forever, but that's nothing I'm upset about. Not when I'm literally sitting there helping, like, even if my life changed and you gave me the ability to help one person, you gave me that strength to do something I wouldn't have did if I was still walking. And that's how I knew that plan that was always set for me. We always have people that come into our lives and he was just somebody too. You know, I had a lifestyle that I was following, that I had a lot of close encounters, but I was too hard-headed because I couldn't see past that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe, like, you know, all my near-death experiences, because there were a few living in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Being shot was like, listen, you got a bigger plan, but I need to sit you down because you not listening. And like, so for me, when I started to look at it from that point and realize that we all have a duty in this world to inspire someone else,
Give
back to someone else. Like, and this one thing that I heard was that, you know, the moment that you take the things that you're passionate about and you serve others with your passion, it creates your purpose. Look at me, it's like fitness and nutrition became my passion, which I serve others through that by disabled, but not really. And now I'm living my purpose by doing it every day without having to feel like it's, you know, like I'm pressured. Yeah. I'm moving with love. I'm moving with empathy, but it all happened, you know, through this whole journey. Right. And so when I got the chance to face Maurice, I was forgiving myself. Mm-hmm. I wasn't forgiving him. I was thanking him, but I was forgiving me for even blaming him for the actions that took place that caused me to us to be in that position. It's amazing. Know what I mean? And that is, I think that is where society fails, is us having the ability to take that accountability.
Yep.
Because that's what it takes for us to move on into this world the right way. And I just wanted to show that.
You're an amazing man, my friend. The idea that, yeah, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but if we all took a bit more accountability for ourselves, I think the world would be a bit better place, don't you think?
Yeah. I've never seen one person or one anything that, you know, wasn't free if they didn't take accountability.
Yeah, totally. Totally, right? Totally.
Like, period.
It's amazing. I mean, that's such a powerful statement. And I really want to thank you for your time. And, you know, as we kind of wrap up, I always kind of ask the last question in a similar vein, which is kind of, you know, given all the lessons you've learned and the things you've been through, you know, if you were sitting one-on-one with anybody in the world, you know, what would you tell them about how to move forward in the world?
Oh man, you know what? I love that. You know, I'm always pumped for those good things, right? Those good things. The best thing to do is to find yourself, is to be able to face your reflection and be okay with that person that you see and be willing to change that person if you believe that that's something that's destined, right? But in order to move through this world, you have to be true to yourself. You have to believe in yourself and love yourself, and don't focus on the opinions of others, because with that full acceptance, everything that you need, all the people that you will want around you will gravitate because of the energy that you push out. The other thing is that you have to speak affirmations. I'm a firm believer of affirmations, and I think that everybody should have them. There's a few that I want to share.
Sure.
I always have my affirmation journal with me.
I love it.
And the very first one, because I believe that this is, I heard it maybe 4 weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness allows us to see that those who harmed us are human.
Oof. That's amazing.
That was, for me, hearing that and understanding that my process and just what I explained,
mm-hmm.
we're all human. And we all make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we're should be held accountable for our mistakes our whole life if we can hold ourselves accountable of that mistake and now be better from it.
That's amazing. You
know, so now here's my other one though. I have abilities that no one else has, and I will use them to make the world a better place. My voice matters. My belief matters. If only I would change my thoughts, I can change the world. I deserve to take up space. Happiness, laughter, peace, and wealth surround me because I am worthy. My success and failures are in my hands. I love myself unconditionally, and every day I am becoming a better version of myself. And my last one, happiness is a choice, and today I choose to be happy. Everyone has a choice that they can make in this world to push themselves to be the person that they believe that they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts within, and it starts with you being able to push out and give yourself all the fruits and birds that you need so that you can know that you're the beautiful flower that you're looking for.
That's unbelievable. I don't even know what to say. I'm just going to leave it there. Wesley, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to post information below, you know, social media stuff, the way to get in touch with disabled, but not really. And look, I challenge everybody who's watching this today. Look, if you were inspired by what Wesley said, please go to the Facebook page and donate. It doesn't matter what you donate. Every little bit counts to help him do the good works that he's doing. And so if you've enjoyed this and some of the other interviews on this channel, please don't forget to subscribe and click the notification button. And Wesley, here's what I always end my interviews with. You ready? Remember, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening.
Hey, I love it.
You like that? Amen. Thanks, Wesley. Take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.